with someone. James chapter 3, if you will. James chapter 3 and verse 2 is where we're going to be this evening. James chapter 3 and verse 2. This passage and this chapter that we are dealing with and that we'll be in for a little while now, it has to do with the heading in my Bible here says the unruly tongue. And I'll tell you, that is, those are some words that though we like to think, well, I have it under control, none of us do. And we need the Lord's help. And we need the Lord to guide us and direct us and to guard our thoughts, guard our words, guard our tone and all of those things. James chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says this, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth from your word. I thank you for speaking to our hearts today. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that, Lord, every truth that we learn from the word of God is an opportunity to sow good seed as we heard this morning. Lord, no doubt each and every one of us, we need your help in this area of the tongue. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see, Lord, that we can't do this without you. We cannot keep it in check, Lord, without your power. And Lord, we're asking for your power. We want to please you in everything that we say and do. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us with that. Lord, if there's anyone here or under the sound of my voice on the live stream that does not know you as their personal Savior, that they would come to know you tonight. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in that verse that we just read there, we see that it speaks of words. It says, "Therefore, in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in words." So we're speaking of the words tonight, the things that come out of our mouth, and something that every single one of us have experienced is this truth. Words are destructive. Words can tear somebody down. No doubt all of us at some point in our life have been torn down by words, maybe from someone that we love dearly, maybe from someone that would claim to be an enemy or someone that we didn't even know at all. And we've been torn down by some words. And as we get into these verses in weeks to come, what we're going to find is that those words come from what verse 5 says, that little member. They come from that thing we call the tongue. But the issue is that we use our words often to destroy and tear down rather than using them to build up. You know, you can build someone up just as easy as you can tear someone down. You just have to let yourself know that this is what I'm going to do. I'm not in the business of tearing people down. I'm not in the business of trying to make people feel bad or anything like that. I want to say the things that are going to build people up. I want to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to be an encouragement to them. And it is impossible to tear someone down if you're constantly encouraging them. In the previous chapter, James was addressing an issue that we all deal with, and that is saying that we have faith and that we're living for the Lord, yet we live like the world. Saying we're following the Lord, yet actually we're just putting on a show. Saying that we're in tune with the scriptures when in all reality, the only Bible that we get is when we are in church. You see, our words can be very destructive. And when we are saying that we are spiritual and following the Lord, yet we are rather living for ourselves and following our own desires, understand we are allowing our tongue to be destructive. We are allowing our tongue to be offensive. And that is offensive to our God in heaven, to everyone that we're speaking to, and then also to ourselves as well. So this evening, I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled this, The Offensive Tongue. The Offensive Tongue. A man by the name of Bruce Waltke, I believe is what his name is here, he said this, "A man's tongue is long enough to cut his own throat." Isn't that true? You know, many people, they will talk themselves into a corner. They will use their tongue to tear down everybody around them. And then at the end of the day, they have nobody left. Sometimes they will go on saying things that are not true and ruining trust with other people and destroying relationships. And at the end of the day, they are left there alone. They are lonely. And it has to do with their offensive tongue. You know, most problems that we experience are directly related to either what we say or what we refused to say. You see, there's a lot of things that if we just handle the situation right and say the right words, there's a lot of problems that would be eliminated. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Also, there's some things that that the Lord says, you don't need to say anything, but yet we open our mouth and we experience problems because of that. One man said this, talking about a circumstance in his life. He said, a seminary colleague once told me how because of flight delays, he arrived late and very weary at a hotel where he had booked a room. The young desk clerk could find no reservation under his name, and my weary friend, who had a miserable day, lost some self-control and started a small verbal blaze around the unfortunate employee as if the problem were of the young man's making. Having found him a room, the clerk invited him to fill in the guest form, and my colleague included the name on the of the theological seminary at which we both taught. As the clerk looked at the form, he gasped, "Are you from the Westminster Seminary?" he asked, and then said excitedly, "This is amazing. I have just recently become a Christian, and I have heard about the seminary. How amazing and marvelous to meet you. Wow, you're really from Westminster." The man goes and says this, "The story could so easily have ended on a different note. A stain inflicted on a young man by a mature believer, a stain might have proved impossible to wash out." You see, this man allowed his words to be offensive. Now, this young man here, of course, he was just happy to be able to meet someone. But no doubt, this young man, as he heard the what this man called a verbal blaze, as he heard that, no doubt it did something to his spirit. And we've all seen things like this. We've all been on both sides of this, whether it was someone talking to us a way that they should not be, or ourselves talking to someone else a way that we should not talk to them. All of us have that tongue that is offensive. You know, the tongue can be the most powerful, destructive member of the entire body. You know, someone can be trained, maybe in the military, they can be trained in hand-to-hand combat and all of those types of things like that, knowing how to use their hands and their feet and extremities and things like that. And they can offer a blow on someone that is going to cause pain, but there is nothing that is going to equate to the pain that is caused by the words that we say. Why? Because that hurts more than just the flesh on the outside. It hurts the spirit on the inside. All of us have been there. We know that that words can hurt. The old saying says that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. It's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Words do hurt. And we all need the Lord to help us with this offensive tongue that we have. So notice, first of all, who has an offensive tongue? Well, look at verse 2. It says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." This chapter in the book of James is given as a warning to us. Of course, the Bible declares that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We believe that truth, at least hopefully we do. And if I was to ask why we believe that, then I believe we would say, well, because the Bible says it. We know that all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. It's a biblical truth from the Word of God. If the Bible says it, then that means it's true. Well, that is true. But then also, if we are going to live that way, and if we're going to believe that this book is our final authority, then understand verse 2. "For in many things we offend all." Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to a group of believers here. And James here is including himself in this warning that he's giving. He says, we all do this. This is something that all of us are guilty of. Notice when he says, for in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. He says, if you're not guilty of this, then you've arrived. There's no sin in your life because this is a sin that everyone is guilty of. There may be some that say, I don't struggle with that. Well, the Bible says this, if a man say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. All of us have an issue with our tongue. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 46. Notice here in 1 Kings 8:46, if they sin against thee, then notice this phrase, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Understand, the Bible declares in many portions of Scripture that for all have sinned, or like this one here says, for there is no man that sinneth not. We need to understand this is a sin that we are all guilty of, and it's something that we need the Lord's help to have control over this. And when we fail, we need to ask the Lord for forgiveness, but not only the Lord, but also the one that we offended with our tongue as well. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9. And then we're going to go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 as well. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9, and then Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9, the Bible says this, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin. Notice Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. Notice, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All of us are sinners. All of us deal with this sin that we're talking about tonight as well. This verse says, in many things we offend all. Notice who's included here. We, speaking of all of us. And remember, this book is not written for unbelievers. It's written to believers. There in James chapter 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting my brethren. These are saved people. And he's telling them, all of us are guilty of this sin of the offensive tongue. And we need the Lord's help. Notice the phrase at the beginning of the verse there when it says, for in many things we offend all. That phrase there is not saying that we offend everybody. But the truth in this statement, when you study this phrase out, the truth is this, that we all have a tongue, therefore we are all guilty of offending. You know, there are some people that we will say certain things to and say it a certain way that we would not say it that same way to someone else. A lot of times that has to do with our family, unfortunately. Many times we're comfortable around them and we'll fly off the handle at them. But yet when we are out in public, somebody, a complete stranger, may do something the exact same thing to us or do the same thing against us. And yet we're just as kind as can be. But because we're behind the closed doors of our home, understand the tongue is just as offensive behind that door as it would be in the supermarket. And we need to understand that we need God's help no matter where we are. It's the Christian life, not the Christian life just out in public, even in our homes. Let's ask the Lord to help us with our offensive tongue. We are all guilty of offending. We all have that offensive tongue. But this offense is not only with the tongue. Because of our sinful flesh, we offend in many ways. and in many other things as well. And James is going to deal with that more in detail as we continue through this study. But church, we must understand that this is a struggle that all of us deal with, myself included. I remember on Wednesday, we looked at Proverbs 15:1, where it said, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Understand, it doesn't say that it will turn away wrath as long as the right words are used. Why? Because it's not just about the words that we say. It's about how we say it. You can be very truthful with someone and yet cut their spirit in half. That's not what we're called to do. We are called to speak the truth in love. Now, of course, there are certain things that we go through in life, and our emotions are raring and all of those things. And many times we'll say, well, I just couldn't control myself. No, but God could have controlled you if you'd have asked him. Lord, help us. Notice we are all guilty of an offensive tongue. Notice, second of all, this evening, here's a truth for you that will be encouraging. It will be a constant battle. Constant. There is no point on this earth, till we get to heaven, there is going to be no point at which we have our tongue in such subjection that we never have to deal with this sin again. Every word that we say, it's either going to be offensive to somebody or it's going to be encouraging to somebody. How are we saying that? This is a constant battle. Notice it says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. You know, many times in Scripture, the Lord will use a rhetorical question or phrase to help us understand the truth that is being portrayed. And understand, this is one of those times. I've heard and read different men's writings on this verse, and some would say this. Well, see, it is possible to not offend in word, and they will also say that. See, you can reach sinless perfection because that's what this word is saying. That's not what it's saying at all. What this verse is saying here is this: for in many things we offend all. If you don't deal with this sin, and if you're not offensive with anyone, then go ahead and straighten up your halo, because you're perfect in the eyes of God, and there's nothing else you need to do. You just coast through till heaven. No, we all offend, and we offend in all. It's a constant battle. Just a moment ago, we saw that everyone is guilty of this offensive tongue. Now, as we read this verse, someone without comparing Scripture with Scripture, one can say so. You do reach the point at which you don't struggle over this. But that's not true. The Bible says that if you don't offend anyone in any way with your tongue, you're perfect and you have control over your whole body. You've reached the pinnacle of life if you don't struggle with your tongue. You know, I believe that every one of us, if we study the Bible, you're going to come to the conclusion that the Apostle Paul was a great man of God, a man that God used in a great way, and I praise the Lord for his testimony and for his willingness to be used of God and penning two-thirds of the New Testament, just a great man. You know, he struggled with his tongue as well. You know, he talked about how the things that he should do and he doesn't do them, and the things that he shouldn't do, he does do those things that he should say and he doesn't say. All of us have this struggle. If you're perfect, that means you have no more struggles with sin, no more lying, no more speaking in an ungodly or unkind way, no speaking with a bad attitude, no pride-led words coming out of your mouth. You are perfect if you never offend anyone with your tongue. And if you think, well, I don't offend anyone with my tongue, well, how about we go ask your family? How about we go ask your friends? How about we go ask your enemies? Lord, help us. We're all guilty of this. You see, this sin that we're talking about, every one of us deal with this. Is there anyone in this room you say, I never struggle with sin of any kind? Would you raise your hand? You don't struggle at all. You say, I don't struggle with sin. I have reached perfection. This is not my hand going up. That's why I'm reaching out and not up. Amen. Because we all deal with that. But the truth of the matter is this. We all need to understand this is a constant battle. When we open our mouths, something is coming out. The idea of perfection, sinless perfection, is what cripples many people in their Christian life. Many struggle with the truth that though we sin, God still loves us as His children. He does not approve of our sin, and unconfessed sin results in broken fellowship, but it never ends the relationship of a father and a child. There are many times that we fail, especially in the area of our tongue and the words that spew out of our mouths that will often discourage others. And we oftentimes we're guilty of that sin, and we say something that we shouldn't say. Something comes out of our mouth and we wish we could grab it before it would hit the ears of the person we're talking to. And many times we are just at a loss and we're thinking to ourselves, I don't want to be this way. I don't want my tongue to do this. I don't want to say these things. I don't want to be held captive by that tone of voice that is tearing people down. But it seems like it's something I struggle with every single day. That's because it is. But before we think that we are defeated by that, understand 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if any of us think that we can go a whole day without sinning, we're lying to ourselves. And if we think that we're justified in any way going a whole day without asking the Lord to forgive us of our wrongdoing that day, we're lying to ourselves as well, because all of us deal with this sin. And every time we talk to someone, we must understand that truth. Too often we allow Satan to convince us that it's just too hard to live for the Lord. It is hard. It isn't easy. The Lord said that you will have trials. You will have tribulations. But He also said this, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's our Lord and Savior, the one that dwells within us. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, understand you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Therefore, you have the power of God Almighty that can help you. You have the power of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and He can help us control our tongue. But that's only if we're yielding it to Him. We need to yield our tongue to the Lord. Church, we need the Lord's help. We need His power. It would do us all good to see that. I want you to look over at Proverbs 16:32. This same principle is taught here, 16:32 of Proverbs. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Of course, this is talking about controlling our spirit, our temperament. But it also applies, of course, to our words because of what we say in anger. Proverbs 16:32, the Bible says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. We need to control our anger. We need to control our tongue. You know, many things that we say that later on we regret, what we can trace that back to many times, and if not all the time, is our spirit was wrong. It had nothing to do with what they did. Well, they made me act that way. They didn't make you do anything. Well, they made me say that. They just pushed me to the edge. So you're blaming your sin on someone else. You see, I'm not saying that it's an easy battle. I'm saying it's a constant battle, but it's still a battle. And we need the Lord's help. Notice thirdly here this evening, not only do we all deal with this sin, not only is it a constant battle, but notice thirdly, how can we fight this battle? How can we do that? What is it? What are some things that we can put into place that's going to help us fight this battle? I want you to look at the book of Psalms, if you will. Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34, and we're going to read this chapter of the Bible together here this evening. It's 22 verses, and I'm going to read it, and I want you to follow along, and I want us to see exactly what's going on in this passage here. I'm going to stop a couple of times and say a couple of words or emphasize a couple of verses. But I want you to notice here in Psalm 34, verse 1 through 22, the Bible says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" Notice when we're talking about fearing the Lord here, "keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Notice there, when we're talking about fearing the Lord, all throughout that passage, it talked about how God is with us, how God will deliver us, how the angels encamp round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Many times we think to ourselves, well, this battle over the tongue, it's just something that is constantly just beating me down, and I feel like I can't get any victory. Understand, we need to give it to the Lord. And before we ever allow words to escape our mouth, we need to make sure that those words are going to be glorifying to the Lord. We need to make sure that the tone in which we are speaking is one that is not going to be cutting people down, but rather encouraging people, rather raising people up, and seeing that we serve a God that is big enough and powerful enough to help us with this enemy that we all have. And when we do slip up, when we say the words we shouldn't say, when we say it a way that we should not have said it, don't allow yourself to go with unrepentant sin. No, as soon as that tone leaves your mouth, as soon as those words leave your mouth, ask that person to forgive you for talking that way, for saying those things, and also ask the Lord to forgive you as well. And what I found is this: if we will call out our sin immediately when the Holy Spirit calls it out, we're slower to sin later on. Why? Because it's a humbling experience in front of someone. When we're upset at them, and then we have to humble ourselves to ask them to forgive us for what I just said, next time it'll make us think twice about speaking the way that we just spoke. You know, Satan knows as well as anyone that he cannot take your salvation. He cannot cause you to lose it. And that is not what he's fighting for. What he's fighting for is the opportunity to discourage you and to cause you to be a miserable person instead of someone who's encouraging and exhorting others to keep the faith, to stand strong for the Lord. And even when we fall, you know, Satan wants us to just stay down. He wants us to just live a defeated life. But when we fall, we are in the power of the Lord. We are to stand up. We are to dust ourselves off, and we are to keep going for the Lord. And the longer we stay down, the more Satan is going to win in your life. We can keep going for the Lord. We can fight this battle with his help. Satan wants us to tear people apart, and he will use our bad attitude or our unkind tone and destructive words to do that. And I can guarantee you that if we do not ask the Lord to help us control our tongue, you will not lead your family, your friends, your coworkers, or anyone else to the Lord, because why would the world want what you have when you're just as miserable as they are? Lord, help us. You know, in the Bible, we are supposed to have an answer and be ready to give that answer to the ones who ask about that hope that's within us. Most people don't see hope in Christians because most Christians are miserable people because of the words coming out of our mouths. You know, the world knows that they already have deceit and hate and cursing and backbiting and chewing people out and other ungodly things like that. Why would they want to have the Christ that we claim to have when we are allowing those ungodly things to proceed out of our mouths? Some may say, well, I just had to say it. I know it wasn't right, but it needed to be said. Well, Satan told you it needed to be said, but God didn't. Many people say, well, I did that because of what they did. And we try to justify our sinful behavior. We try to convince ourselves that it isn't that bad. Go over to the book of Ephesians, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 to 32. We need to put these things into action. When we think for one second we can justify our unkind words or our unkind tone. Look at Ephesians 4:29. Isn't it amazing how many times it's the familiar verses in the Bible that we tend to forget? It says this in Ephesians 4:29-32, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. None. Whatsoever. At all. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what we see in this passage that we just read? If you have all of those things in verse 31, if you put every one of those things away from you, then you won't speak unkind to people because the bitterness is gone. Many times we'll be unkind to someone because of something they did, because we're harboring that bitterness within us. We'll put it aside. Many times we're struggling with saying these certain things, and it all goes back to the bitterness in our own heart because we haven't forgiven them. Well, you just don't understand what they've done. No, but I understand what we've done to Christ, and he forgave us. What about wrath? In anger and in clamor and evil speaking. And it says with all malice, you see all of those things. When we act out in anger, understand that is a sin in our life, not to be pointed at someone else. We need to put these things into action. You may say, well, that's just the way that I was raised. Well, that's just how my parents were. That's just how my grandparents were. That's just from the life that I've lived. That's just who I am. Well, look at James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Not one time in those verses does it say, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you, unless you've been brought up a certain way. Unless someone's been mean to you. Unless someone has tore you down with their words, then you don't have to do those things because, well, you're in a special category. These verses are just for people who had a perfect set of parents. None of us did, and none of us are the perfect parents either. You see, all of us will give account of ourselves unto God. Verse 6 of that same passage there, it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Understand, when we are speaking to someone with unkind words, or we're speaking in an unkind tone, when we are allowing our tongue to be offensive, understand that is coming from a place of pride, and pride goeth before destruction, is what the Bible says. The reason why most believers are constantly kicked down by this sin and never experience any victories in this area is because as a whole, we are too prideful to admit that we struggle with it and we need the Lord's help. We may say some words that are disguised as a prayer, but too often we are doing that to make ourselves feel better rather than praying them in faith, believing that God is going to help us. Too often we're doing what the Bible calls asking amiss. Just because we have failed God many times doesn't mean we have any right to say that God has failed us. God's never failed us, and he never will. If we ask the Lord to help us and we ask in faith believing that God is going to help us, then God is going to, but we must yield to him. We must see that, Lord, there's this tongue that you've given me. I realize it's offensive. I realize that many times my tone is not the way that it should be. I realize there's times when I say things that I should not say. Lord, help me to get control over this. Church, this offensive tongue needs to be dealt with every single day. We must see that when we are offensive with our words or tone, it is against the word of God and it hurts our Lord and Savior because it is sin. And we need the Lord's help. You know, as we go through this passage here, we're going to see many other things that have to do with this tongue. And the Bible has nothing good to say about this tongue. You know, something that I've found is many times we have plenty to say, but we don't do a whole lot of listening. Many times it's God's desire that we just be quiet rather than putting in our two cents. And if we would just follow what God wants us to say, or we keep our mouth shut when God wants us to keep our mouth shut, understand we'd do a whole lot better in this area of controlling.